This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
It's time for the firm of Harris and Meringue.
I was terrified that I was not going to make the show on time.
Patrick Harris.
Hi, friend.
Danny Meringue.
I'm one of those weirdos.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hi, friends.
Did not turn my mic on. Was not hot.
We're good. I got it now.
Pull that bad boy closer to you, man. Pull that bad boy closer to you.
You're not my real dad.
You're not my real dad. Welcome in to the firm of Harris Meringue. One more day of no Danny, but that's all right. We got a surprise guest for you. Our boy Rufio in the house. Hello, my friend.
How are you doing?
I'm great, dude. It's like you penned it to me, and then I passed it along to my wife, called this Dead Week, and she was like, "Oh, that's why you want me on." But I'm happy to have you here, amigo.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's better than doing this thing by myself.
Oh, I mean, I can't believe that the brand man approved this.
Well, guess what, buddy? It's a Tuesday. Guess who don't come into this place on a Tuesday? The brand man's at practice today.
Oh, yeah.
At least he claims to be at practice today. You
know, well, I don't think he's quite to the Dirt or the Rop version of I'm got something important to do when they're out at Langdon.
Yeah, you know, I stay away from that. A lot of people love to give that dude a lot of grief, and I decided to stay away from that. That man has done a lot for me in this career, and I don't know if taking shots at that amigo is a great idea.
It's a Tuesday.
He's not here. Yeah, that is also true. He is also not here today. We had fun yesterday. I was watching Primetime. We got a new Primetime producer in the house. We are growing here in the Odyssey family. Got some new part-timers in as we've all become familiar and friends with the great Lowercase.
Indeed. Been really enjoying Lowercase on the listener end.
I know. He's kind of a good little kid there. I'm really happy. He tries really hard, which means a lot to me. And I think it means a lot to everybody else at the station. So that's great. Yeah. Well, Rufio, how was your holiday?
It was a holiday. It was a holiday as you'd have with four young kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah.
And how old are your kids?
I got a 10-year-old. So I got boy, girl.
Okay.
And I got a 10-year-old, a 7-year-old, a 3-year-old who's almost 4. He's very 3, almost 4. And then we got a 6-month-old.
Okay. All right.
So things are busy in the house.
I'm rocking girl, boy. I got 13, 10, and 9.
Yeah. I'm a little bit behind you there.
And my 13-year-old thinks she's 25.
Oh, yeah.
And my 10-year-old thinks she's 8. And my 9-year-old is a disgusting 9-year-old boy. Just right on keel. Right on keel. We have parent-teacher conference, and they're like, your kid's fine. Totally a third grader. We're like, dope.
Okay, great.
Sounds great. Sounds fantastic. You don't want to hold my kid back, so I'm happy about that.
Well, I don't think they do that anymore.
They don't hold kids back anymore?
No. I can tell you that.
Is this a post-COVID thing? Or
kind of, yeah. I can tell you from my... I'm a little Ortner-esque here with my substitute teaching.
Okay.
And stuff, but
so you're in with the kids these days.
Sure, we could say that.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but holding kids back. I did a long-term sub and I've done two different school districts, done long-term subs, and at both schools, pretty good schools, and both school districts, pretty big districts. Holding kids back, not really a thing anymore.
Yeah, you kind of like talk to somebody professionally. You're like, hey, you know, I think little Johnny here, He's kind of struggling. He could do a lot better if we just maybe repeat this. No, absolutely
not. Nope. No chance.
I'm going to toot my own horn here for a moment. In second grade, they wanted me, after first grade, they wanted me to skip second grade and go to third grade. And they were like, he's ready. Like, intellectually, he's ready. And my parents were like, absolutely not. Like, that kid might be smart, but that kid is an idiot. And so I did not skip second grade. They were more worried about the, like, maturation side of it.
Yeah.
Plus, my birthday's in June, so I'm already a young kid. Yeah. So you're just going to make me more young? And I think they were really, really worried about that.
Well, was it just because you were so small that you just looked like
Probably. Probably. But what is it like? I always got really good grades in school, whether it was, like, high school, college, or anything like that. I always got really good grades.
Not surprised.
But most of my teachers absolutely couldn't stand me because they were like, this guy won't shut up ever. He thinks he's funny. He's not. My mom one time went to a parent-teacher conference and said, I am not leaving until you say something nice about my kid.
Oh, jeez.
And so the teacher went, well, he has perfect attendance. And that pissed them off because I was there every day.
Okay.
I didn't skip school. I like school.
Well,
I would go to school right now.
Of course you did. Yeah. Your teachers didn't like it when you're at school.
Exactly.
You loved it.
I would go to school right now. If I could be a career student and just study different things all the time, I would absolutely do
it. I didn't understand that at all as a student, even as like a 20-something. Mm-hmm. Never understood that. Something flipped and like I feel the same way.
I have a degree in theater. I was an actor for a long time and I don't regret any of that. I had a wonderful time. I learned so much about myself, and now here I'm doing a job where it actually kind of pays off. But I would love to go back to broadcast journalism school. I would love to go to, I would love to learn about fermentation science, you know, being a beer nerd.
Yeah.
You know, I would love to learn more about geography and maybe political science stuff.
So
like
you're like all over the place.
Oh, yeah,
it's not
man.
Like I want to know about something, you know, right down the road. Like you're like this, a little bit of that. You're just kind of grab bagging it.
Yeah. Because I think learning is cool. Learning things you don't know about is awesome.
Do things come up that you're like, you just like hear someone talking about it or you see it and it's like, I kind of want to know more about it. You go down the rabbit hole of the YouTube, the...
Absolutely. I'm not a YouTube rabbit hole guy.
Yeah.
It terrifies me. I'm Reddit. Always worried about propaganda. Reddit, baby.
Reddit. You're worried about propaganda and then you go to Reddit. Love it.
My Google algorithm is so set up that anytime I ask it a question, it instantly wants to finish the question and add Reddit at the end.
Yeah, that tracks.
Because I believe more things on Reddit than I do on anything else. Except for Wikipedia, probably.
Scary.
Except for Wikipedia, probably.
Yeah, Wikipedia is getting a little bit.
Is it?
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why, as teachers, we're like, no, you can't use Wikipedia as a source.
But I always thought it got to the point now where you kind of can because they list sources at the bottom.
Well, so what we
Some
did...
Some stuff.
Well, what we did is like, if you find it on Wikipedia, find the footnote, find the source, grab it from the original source.
Exactly. That's how you cheat the system right there.
Just as long as it doesn't have a Wikipedia link as your broad, as your citation, right? You just, you cheat it, you go up, the big thing that they're doing now, the kids that actually are trying and not just asking ChatGPT to write everything for them, they'll say, can you cite the source? ChatGPT will give you the source. Right? I'm not saying don't do this, kids. Don't do...
Also, don't use ChatGPT. I think it costs like a bottle of water every question you ask ChatGPT to cool down the servers.
Really?
I read that somewhere, so it must be true.
My wife yesterday...
Probably on Reddit.
My wife yesterday, not scolded me, but she goes, you know, every time you say... I'm nice to AI. Like when I ask Siri something, I say please, I say thank you.
Because like
when they take over, I just want them to know that I've been nice. I've been nice and polite the whole time. But she said to me yesterday, she's like... You know, it uses up like an incredible amount of energy every time that you say please or thank you and they have to respond to you saying please or thank you.
Oh, because they want to be nice back to you. Or do they not understand what please and thank you means?
I feel
like this is an episode of Star Trek with Data right now.
No, they're programmed to be nice and be reciprocal right now. But once they become...
Sentient.
Yes. I want them to know that I, by choice, was nice to them.
Ah, the old long game. Yeah,
absolutely. Playing the long game.
Yeah, I for one, welcome our robot overlords. I'm with you. If it's inevitable, why not? You know, I don't need Judgment Day. I'm not a Terminator guy. I don't want that.
Did you see the post? I saw a post. I should have forwarded it to you. There was a guy that posted, it was a fake LinkedIn, job posting for someone to just sit there by the servers just to be ready at any time to pull the plug.
Ooh.
Like, your job is just to be always ready.
That's it.
Just be ready to pull the plug.
Kind of like you would become the knight in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade who guards the cup. You just sit there forever, and if you die, you bring somebody new in. You know what I mean?
Like,
is it passed down from generation to generation?
How do you pass judgment on AI, though?
I mean, AI is not always right.
How do I tell AI that they chose poorly? See, that's the thing.
You stupid machine.
Yeah. Are we going to be able to judge AI? Can you get into a conversation with AI in the sense of, I think you're wrong? And not in, a fake news kind of situation, but in, I don't know if that's factually correct.
Well, that would require AI to have opinion, right?
Does AI not have opinion yet?
I don't know.
I don't use AI. I'm too scared of it.
Yeah. We're going to have to go to YouTube or text or something just for anyone that actually messes with AI like that, just because I don't know. I don't use it like that.
AI has become my ultimate old man at the clouds. You know, I can already be kind of a fuddy-duddy and not love new things, you know, like take baseball, for example. Like, don't mess with my sport. Like, do not mess with my sport. And AI is further and further away from that in the sense of, I am so terrified of it, I don't understand it, that I'm just going to pretend it doesn't exist. That's how I'm going to roll, because I'm just too scared of it.
Well, until you have to.
Until I have to?
Yeah.
What am I ever going to come across, Rufio, where I'm going to have to use AI?
I have no idea. I have no idea. But I will say, when I was going through my master's just a few years ago, my master's in teaching, one of my professors was an expert in educational AI. And so, he had published things on, AI in education, and he was developing different programs for school districts and just in general. The scariest thing that he told us was AI right now at its current rate is growing in capacity and ability exponentially. It doubles every 3 months.
Really?
Every 3 months, the capabilities of AI doubles. So we have no idea what we're going to actually.
I am no math expert, but I am aware that 2 times 2 is 4. And 4 times 2 is 8, and 8 times 2 is 16, and exponentially. And you don't just grow a little bit. You continue to grow a mass and a mass and a mass. That's terrifying, dude. That's terrifying.
It is the world in which we live, and you're saying you don't want to be part of it.
I don't.
What's going to happen when they rise up?
I welcome them. I will be
Hi,
the peasant.
Hi, friends.
Yep, I'll be the peasant. Hi, friends. Yep, that's exactly what will happen. Oakley Doakley, we got a great show for you today. A lot to get to. We'll have free consultation at 12:15, as we always do on a Tuesday, so you can get those thoughts in, whatever you need help with, Rufio edition of free consultation. We'll chat a little bit of NBA and the effort in the Big Nooner, and spend some time in college football, including your Oregon Ducks and our number deuce. But we'll start with, what the hell did we watch last night on Monday Night Football? Do you want to win? What the hell is a catch? I'm very, very fired up about this. We'll do that next. This is Portland Sports Leader 105.1, The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
1017 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. We are live, baby, as we always are, from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. 503-864-6326. That's the fan text line. She'll let you interact with us throughout the entire day. Also, shout out to the YouTubes over there, youtube.com/1051TheFan. We have Rufio in today in replace of one Daniel Morang. He'll be back tomorrow. Rufio is our unofficial YouTube moderator to keep things in line over there.
Sure. to the chaos at all.
No. I was told the YouTube was a place of high volatility, but I have not quite seen that.
Oh yeah, I don't think we haven't really had that since you started on the show.
You know why?
Why is that?
'Cause I'm a nice guy.
You are a nice guy.
I try my best.
You're nice enough to have me on, or brave enough, I should say.
Brave enough. Even the brand man was like, that's a bad idea, dude.
Yeah.
That's a bad idea. Well, he ain't here, dude.
Yeah, well, someone's here on Tuesday.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Take that, Dusty.
Me, Rust, and Swag, and Sukanik were the only people showing up this week.
You get paid more for that, right?
What's that?
You get paid more for that. Rust will tell you.
I did have all last week off, though, so I can't really complain too much. We got a lot to get to this hour. A college football coach spurns the NFL. There was a football game on Sunday that was about as drunk as can be, but maybe not as drunk as what we saw last night as the Falcons defeat the Rams 27-24 on Monday Night Football. And it's wild going into this game, Rufio. We kind of thought, look, Raheem Morris is going to get fired. Kirk is old. Falcons really don't have anything to play for. I know the Rams don't get the first round bye anymore, have no shot at the division, but they're still playing for seeding. Stafford's got an MVP on the line, and this thing went sideways quickly.
Sideways? It was upside down. It was chaos, complete chaos. After the first half, we just, what is going on?
It was pretty shell-shocking. Yeah, kind of like, I mean, Matt Stafford throws a pick six, and you're like, what is going on here? Wait, no. I'm drunk.
He threw a pick, though,
in the beginning. Yes. And you're just kind of like, what the hell is going on? And Bijan Robinson cannot be stopped. And you're just kind of going, wait a sec. I thought we all sat here and thought the Rams were the best team in the NFL, if not the NFC.
Well, the best team in the NFL, and I actually really like what the Rams do on defense, but Bijan going 22 carries or 195 and a touchdown with a 93-yarder. Mm-hmm. Ooh, man, that... From a football perspective, like mm-hmm. an X's and O's football perspective, in my head, this had Rams covering easily just by the way that the defensive structure is from the Rams, how poorly the Falcons offense has been outside of Bijan Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, was I wrong.
No kidding. And I think something's very interesting about that offense. I have never... And it's really tough to say this because I have such a bias, and I try not to have the bias because with transfer portal and stuff, I do my best, but maybe it sneaks in. I'm not the biggest Michael Penix guy in the world. I worry about his health, but this offense, when they put a game manager, quote unquote, an old guy who can't move around in Kirk Cousins, this offense looks better. And Kyle Pitts has had a better season than most people have thought. And Bijan is probably the best running back in the NFL. I don't know if the Rams overlooked this team. I don't know if they played with their food a little bit. But we were texting throughout this game, and you even live bet it. And I was like, two scores? The Rams got this.
Yeah.
And Matthew Stafford looked like the MVP. He was like, okay, I played like S, but we'll figure this out. Yeah. I'll go down the field.
Yeah, it looked like after the first half, and I think I live bet that in the third quarter when they were down two scores, right? And I think it was, yeah, I think it was, they were down two scores, and I live bet it right before, because the Falcons were on, like, what, the 14-yard line, something mm-hmm. like that? And I live bet the Rams' money line. And
right before the blocked field goal that got ran back.
Right before.
And now it's a one-score game. And I'm sitting there going, this is it. This has everything in the making to do it. And then what happened? Stafford got the ball on offense. The defense stepped up. And they were torching the Falcons' defense. Yeah, marching down the field. until Matt Stafford threw another pick.
And they were marching down the field, but the play calling as they were marching seemed like McVay was trying to protect Stafford. Mm. It's like he saw whatever he saw in Stafford, like, hey, this is not quite working. Whether it was his half field reads, a lot of the rhythm stuff, the 5-step stuff, the 7-step stuff, even some of the play action. Like, he still got some zone naked boot stuff just to get ball out in the flat quick. But all of the rhythm stuff, it seemed like Stafford couldn't get out of his first and second reads. And I think that is really uncharacteristic of Matthew Stafford, especially this year. But that play calling, as they're marching down the field, there was a lot of wide zone, tight zone, stuff to just get Kyren Williams back into the flow of the game. And he kind of led that. He was really stuffed in the first half.
It's fascinating to think about what you're talking about here. You're talking about Sean McVay protecting Matt Stafford was the phrase you used. And it's wild. That's really where coaching comes in. Matt Stafford's the MVP. He's a bona fide Hall of Famer, Super Bowl champ.
Yep.
And the coach looks at him and goes, he ain't got it today.
Nope.
He ain't got it today. So now it's my job to protect him.
I thought it was brilliant.
I thought it was brilliant, too. And that's what makes Sean McVay one of the, top five coaches in the NFL. Mm. I was surprised that even with the protection that Matt still struggled. And I also hate the conversation that's been had all morning and all last night of he cost himself the MVP. I hate this. I hate this. I hate this. If a pitcher is in the last start of his season and he's going to the playoffs, but he gets shelled, does that cost him the Cy Young? I don't think it should. I don't think it should, but they're going to do this to Matt Stafford, and I don't think it's fair.
I don't think it's fair, but at the same time, the optics say between him and Drake May, Drake May has not had a game like this.
No. No.
But Drake May has not played anybody.
Matt Stafford leads the NFL in touchdowns.
Yeah.
Drake May does not.
But he's not far behind. Drake May's got, 24?
I think Matt Stafford has 42. Total touchdowns? Total touchdowns?
Total touchdowns.
Yeah, dude. Touchdowns. Let me pull this up here.
What I mean, though, is I think there was that stat that came out. The Giants have 2 wins above teams that the records are above 500. And the Patriots have 1 win against teams with records above 500. Mm. So when you're talking about if you're going to have that influence, the team success, if you're going to have that influence, your MVP discussions, for me, Matt Stafford is still the leader in the clubhouse.
I think so too. And I just think it's a really tough thing to say that he had a bad game and now he doesn't get to win the MVP. I want to ask you this question, and I've already seen it on the text line, 503-864-6326. Sorry, brother, that ball was loose. I've talked about this many, many times. As you personally, Rufio, love the phrase that I use. I have waxed poetically about this many, many times. Okay, if the ball juggles a little bit in his hand, that's not a catch. But the ball can touch the ground as long as it's in control, and that is a catch. Explain that to me.
I can't.
Because that doesn't make any sense. Okay. When I watch that ball, it never touched the ground. He had, for the most part, possession. He didn't lose it on the way down. The guy got his hand on it. But then he pulled it back in. I'm not the biggest Puka Nacua fan because I think he's kind of a dumbass.
Yeah.
But, the man made a hell of a catch, and we're just going to say no. But if that ball would have touched the ground when he had 2 hands on it, that's a catch? I don't like it.
So you know me as a football coach.
Like,
I'm a defensive guy.
Totally.
I think that it's ridiculous how defenders get penalized for playing defense.
It is very offensive friendly in this league.
That being said, that's a catch.
Without a doubt.
That's a catch.
That's some of the most athletic ability I've ever seen.
And not just the actual catch itself when the ball hits his hands, but adjusting to the trajectory of the ball from flattening out that corner route to that sail to come back to the ball, keep his feet, both the toe tap, while he's reaching out full extension to get that ball, brings it in against his body, and because the ball moved a little bit when he had his hand against his body, we're going to say that's not a catch.
I know, it reminds me of Dez Bryant in Green Bay in that playoff game. Like, that to me, every time I watch that play, I'm like, that's a catch. every time I watch that play. But these are not catches. But if I grasp the ball with two hands, and as I'm going to the ground, it hits the ground while I'm getting both my feet down, that counts. I'll never understand it. And this is what I honestly think puts off some NFL fans, some casual fans. It's like, I don't understand the rules. Rufio, I do this for a living, and I don't understand the rules. That's not a good thing. That's not a good thing.
Well, one of the great things about the NFL is that they're not afraid to evolve or change rules if something's not going well.
Agreed. But how much is too much?
There we go. At what point are we trying to define something, a standard part of the game, a catch?
Mm-hmm.
At what point are we saying it has to have these parameters to be a catch? At a certain point, pulling from one of Russ's favorite, it's kind of like pornography. You can't define, but you know it when you see it. And a catch, you know when you see a catch, that's a catch. Now, if we're going to go by the letter of the law, right? If we're going by the letter of the law, it's like it has to match these. We can say, yes, that's a catch. But ruling-wise, the referee has to say, and the video replay, hey, they have to say, that's not a catch. It's an incomplete pass. That takes away from exactly what the NFL is trying to promote.
Without a doubt. Does this loss concern you for the Rams?
No.
Me neither.
No.
I feel like TV wants me to change my thoughts on the Rams, and it just really doesn't.
Nope. Still a good football team, still well-coached, still good schemes. They'll be fine.
They brought this up in the broadcast. We'll get out of here because we're up against it. They brought this up in the broadcast, and I thought it was fascinating about the Eagles' losses going into – or, sorry, the Rams' losses going into this game.
Mm-hmm.
And then this game just being the exact same thing. Realistically, the Rams, their 1, 2, 3, their 5 losses are all on them. They're all on them. The Eagles, block, kick, run back at the end of the game. 49ers, 26-23. They could have won that game. The Panthers game, crappy weather. They're still in it against a team that struggles offensively at times. The Seahawks, Sam Darnold, okay, in the 2 games the Rams have played the Seahawks, Sam Darnold has 6 interceptions, and you're 1-1. And then last night, Bijan runs all over you, and you have the comeback potential, and you get it. If this team doesn't shoot themselves in the foot, and maybe that's the reaction to it, maybe that's the criticism of this team, is if they don't shoot themselves in the foot, they can steamroll anyone.
I agree. It's up to them. But when you also look at their losses, they're good defenses.
They are.
They're
that's
good
a great
defenses,
point.
And the coaches have coached against McVay.
And Raheem Morris used to coach with Sean McVay, and he's coaching for his life. Do you think he kept his job last night?
No.
Me neither.
No.
I'd give
not
him
at all.
I love the dude. I would hire him on my staff in a heartbeat.
No. Arthur Smith, he was on. You see him on the sideline,
his
shots. Like he's like, yeah, this is great. Awesome. Yeah,
you're fired. All right. When we come back, let's say a little NFL adjacent. We'll get into some college football action as this coach has decided for the first time to say something. We'll do that next. But first, the Kahuna with sports.
That's that Hawaiian burger joint.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
I mean, that's why we're short shorts. We didn't legs, bro. Like
503-864-6326 is the fan text line. I got some new drops in here, baby.
I was not ready for that one.
That's my boy Gardner Minshew.
Woo!
That's my boy Gardner Minshew, the fourth greatest quarterback in Wazoo history.
Fourth?
Fourth, yeah. I got to give him 4. He only played for 1 year. Alex Brink is 3-1 in an Apple Cup.
Yeah, okay.
Bledsoe,
okay.
Leaf, Brink, Minshew.
Yeah. I mean, you also love some Alex Brink. I mean, I love me some Alex Brink, too.
But... I love Alex. He's also my quarterback.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
My teammate.
That's my quarterback.
We finally hear from this guy. Did anybody else find it strange that in all this, we've decided we're not playing in the playoff? Everybody hates Notre Dame. What's going on over there? Should they join a conference? Blah, blah. Did anybody else find it strange that we had not heard anything from Marcus Freeman until this tweet? 2026, run it back, go Irish. Nothing. He doesn't have anything to say about not playing in a bowl game. I thought he was gone, but because of that. Like,
same.
Giants are calling. I think the Giants is maybe the most desirable job in the NFL coming into next year. Ooh. Of ones that are going to be open. I love the idea of an offense with a quarterback, a running back, and a receiver. Some nice D-line pieces and a high draft pick. You can maybe trade that back, get an O-lineman in a corner. I'm really interested in this Giants team. I thought he was gone because we hadn't heard anything from him. Mm. He has nothing to say about not making the playoff. He has nothing to say about them boycotting a bowl game.
Yeah.
He has nothing to say about transfer portal or anything in this kind of stuff. He's just gone silent.
I think that... See, did you also notice the timestamp on that tweet?
9 a.m.
Exactly 9 a.m.
Oh.
Does that seem like a scheduled tweet to you?
Definitely.
Right? So
continue.
So, you know, tinfoil hat time.
Sure, go for right? it.
I think he took calls, right?
He had to have taken calls.
He had to have. When you look at the Giants coaching candidates, there is one thing they all have in common. I'll read you some names here. Jeff Hafley from the Packers.
Okay.
Lou Anarumo from the Colts. Brian Flores and Chris Shula. All in the conversation, according to Diana Rossini, all in the conversations right now about the next head coach of the New York Giants. What do they all have in common?
Defense.
They're all defensive coordinators.
Yeah.
So Marcus Freeman fits right into that.
He does.
And you were just mentioning all of those offensive, young offensive weapons.
Mm-hmm.
But they're looking at a defensive head coach.
Is that a Giants problem? Do you think they're going the wrong route on this? That maybe that's why Marcus is out, because he's like, wait a sec. I don't like their priorities.
I just like, and don't get me wrong. They have a talented secondary. They're young, relatively young on defense, and they don't have a whole lot of money tied up on that side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of seems like as an organization, the Giants are kind of not steering into the skid. It's like they're trying to fight it too hard.
Right. And then they just got scheduled by getting the Raiders at the end of the year and blowing them out.
I just think that the tank bowl is going to, it's, I think that the way that the Giants are operating to have all those offensive weapons, the young guys, the guys that you can build upon in the next couple of years and spend money elsewhere,
mm-hmm.
to bring in a head coach, a defensive coach again, and I'll don't worry, we're getting back to Marcus Freeman. Then bring in a defensive head coach with NFL experience is way more appealing than bringing in a defensive head coach with no NFL experience. Mm. Because at least you have the experience of knowing what you're going up against, what you're going to, especially with a Brian Flores, who has the head coaching experience,
right.
to say, hey, I know how one side of the ball operates. I know how I've learned how to manage the other side without stepping in it, which I think he actually did really well.
You think this is more of a Giants really weren't that interested in Marcus Freeman, because the TV wants to tell me that everybody should be more involved in Marcus Freeman. You think this is an anti-Marcus Freeman?
I think so.
Yeah.
I just don't. What are the talking heads going to do? They have a name,
well, of course,
and a school that's nationally marketable. They're going to talk about that. And they have the New York Giants, which, of course, East Coast bias is now going to come in. So, of course, they're going to link Marcus Freeman to the Giants, especially because it's that sexy name and it's been out there
for
months, really. You didn't hear Marcus Freeman talk about how the USC-Notre Dame rivalry will not be continuing.
Correct.
You didn't hear him talk about the bowl game, the opting out of the bowl games.
Correct.
You didn't hear him talk about the publicly talk about the playoff snubbing of Notre Dame. Now, some of that has been silenced, and maybe he made a really smart decision because we went and saw what how Alabama performed.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's also the same kind of he's built from the same ilk as what you your favorite spot landing spot for Marcus Freeman in Pittsburgh.
That's what I want.
And I think that is a much better fit for him. Mm-hmm. Just his style, his where he comes football philosophically from, I think that's a much better fit for him.
I think one thing that we also have to remember is Notre Dame is a great job. There is no reason to leave this job anytime soon. That maybe, you know, maybe it's the flip side. Maybe the Giants really were interested in Marcus Freeman. Maybe Marcus just wasn't interested in that job. I mean, he is such a high commodity right now, at least by the pundits. You know, I don't know if NFL people actually think he's a high guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love him in Pittsburgh just because of the aesthetic of it. Of a young up-and-coming, somebody who will be there for a long time, who seems to relate to players really well. Because that's what they've done for the 60, 70 years in Pittsburgh. But also, he can go whenever he wants. Like, who's got more power at Notre Dame, do you think? You think it's the AD, or do you think it's Marcus Freeman? Because I might lean it's Marcus Freeman. Because if he wants another pay raise, he'll get a pay raise.
You know,
if he wants more money into a facility, he's going to get it. If Jed Fish can tell UW to do whatever he wants, Marcus Freeman's doing that at Notre Dame.
Yeah, but UW is not a national blue blood.
Well, they think program. They are.
Well, and that's a little bit of your Wazoo bias, too.
It also helped break up the Pac-12. Never forget.
Never forget.
But I think he's in control there. I think he's got a lot of say and a lot of power. And if you go to the Mara family, you don't have all that say. Who's going to be the GM next year? Are they, you know, who's going to, what's that staff look like? I don't know. Maybe the Giants job isn't as good as I think it is.
I don't think it is. And I think that part of it is that just on the back end where you're mentioning the staff, the Giants staff overall is... Let's just say it has room for improvement.
Mm.
And what we're seeing on YouTube, on the YouTube chat, Bleak is saying, you know, could it be that just because the Giants have their quarterback, running back, all their offensive, that they feel like they need a coach that's going to prop up the defense, help the other side of the ball?
Potentially. I mean, especially because Daboll was the offense side and there wasn't much there.
In my opinion, well, I mean, we have, yes. However, it is the NFL.
Right.
And the NFL is built around the offense.
It is true.
They have their quarterback. They're built around the offense. Why not bring in a head coach that's offensive-minded and trust that head coach in the hiring process to say, hey, we know what we're getting with our defense personnel-wise. We really need you to make an outstanding hire, or we have to be part of the process of that defensive coordinator position. Something of that ilk, because it is the NFL. It is offensively driven. Mm-hmm.
I wonder if there's some real concern in-house on Abdul Carter, like upstairs in the brain. I wonder if there's some real concern in-house on Kayvon Thibodeau's progression as a pass threat or as a pass rushing threat. That maybe they're worried that all their invested capital in Kayvon Thibodeau, who's a top five pick, Abdul Carter, who's a top five pick, that these guys aren't advancing enough. That maybe they really need somebody to save that? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Damn it, Rufio, you now got me questioning whether or not I love this job. And I don't like that. I don't like that, dude.
No.
I don't like that because I thought I could count on that opinion. And you can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Starting at just like $30 for your first year, that's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. You know, the NFL continues to be drunk. Sunday afternoon gave it to us as well. Eagles, Bills.
Ooh.
What's more concerning in this? You know, is it Josh not getting the cape on? Is it the Eagles' second half performance? What's the future look like for both of these? We'll do those next. A little more NFL here. The Firm, Harrison Morang, 105.1, The Fan. All right, coming up here on hour number deuce, play a little Slim Shady game. Guess who's back for your Oregon Ducks, for Danny Morang's Oregon Ducks. What we loved from bowl games so far, there's a new offensive coordinator in college football, and I just want to ask the question, why? I feel a little Nancy Kerrigan, too. Why? And Web Gems as well. Rufio sitting in today for Danny Morang again. Danny will be back tomorrow. We'll have the crew back in action tomorrow, so that'll be great. And then Thursday is obviously off for the bowl game, and we'll all be back Friday. I think everyone's back Friday.
Oh,
I don't know about Sprague. Sprague might be gone, but I think Rop and Suk are back on Friday. Danny and I will be here on Friday, and I think Dirt is back, but I'm not sure if old Sprager's back yet. But let's get into this. One of the other, look, the NFL was very great this weekend. The NFL was very, very good to us this weekend, and what I always love to look at are the marquee nationally televised games. Now, I was able to sneak in and get the old NFL package for pretty cheap.
Oh, yeah?
Pretty cheap. But the national afternoon window game of the Eagles-Bills, that game was a little unwatchable until it became very, very watchable.
Unwatchable for you.
Why is that?
Well, you know, I'm a defensive guy.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. Now, I don't mind a pitcher's duel. I really don't. But once it was more so in the third quarter when I really started focusing in on this game, because I was thinking I was doing some other things, and I really started focusing in on this game, and there it comes again. Something I've said a billion times on this show, and I feel like I'm getting a little tired of saying it. This Eagles offense is absolutely garbage in the second half. It's inexcusably garbage. I don't mean to sound hot takey here or get all Marcus Spears like he was last night on TV, but like, I don't get it. I mean, I do get it, but I don't get it. Obviously, they miss Kellen Moore. But Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, like, you have so much studs everywhere. And Jalen Hurts can't throw the football in the second half.
He cannot.
And they don't even give the ball to Saquon Barkley. It's like, we want to establish the run. Well, you know how you do that? By giving the running back the football. That's how you do it.
You named all these great offensive pieces. I think the biggest loss was Jason Kelce.
It has to be. It has to be. Like, it has to be. I don't want to, like, prop up the TV guy, the Taylor Swift brother-in-law, but I think you're right.
I from a football perspective, absolutely. They missed that guy 1,000%. 10 toes down. He was the captain of that O-line. Then we're not just talking about setting protection, but because of the Eagles' run scheme, how they were doing what they were doing, being able to identify your combo blocks, your double teams, he was really good at identifying simulated pressures and setting protections to that. And it all affects directly what the Eagles' roster was built on.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to run the ball really well so that we get a heavy box. We get our one-on-one matchups on the outside.
We get our RPOs, our play action,
absolutely,
et cetera.
And that has disappeared because they can't count on getting those 4 yards, those 5 yards on first down.
Do you think Jalen Hurts has regressed as a quarterback, or do you think it was really schematic? Because he can't be this bad. I mean, I wasn't really high on Jalen Hurts coming out of the draft. He's a winner in college. He's shown that he's a winner in the NFL. But I was never super, like, obsessed with his ability. But he just always kind of made it happen. Not really like Josh Allen Superman style, which we'll get to in a moment.
Yeah.
But he's always been able to, like, figure it out and get the W. Which they did get the W. But, boy, they ugly it up to get a
W.
Yeah,
but unlike Josh Allen, when you say Josh Allen puts on the cape and he does Josh Allen things, you're talking about Josh Allen things. The Eagles find ways to win football games, and you're not saying it's Jalen Hurts that's finding ways to win football games.
Because let's be real, that defense was outstanding.
I am a huge Vic Fangio fan.
Should be.
As a defensive coordinator, my personal system is a high school variation of what he does.
I love that.
And it's...
You're the defensive Philip Rivers with Shane Steichen. Rivers runs Shane Steichen's offense in his high school?
Yeah, he was talking to him every week.
I love that.
About that. No, for me, like, it's just, I love what he does with the personnel that he has and how he doesn't change what he does because what he does is so good and they do it so well that they don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
The other side of that being, now you have an offense that constantly puts you in bad situations.
Yeah.
You have short, it's not like you have an offense that'll move the ball a little bit and then they have to punt. And so, okay, now we have 80 yards of field to defend. We're talking about an offense that constantly is going three and out,
mm-hmm.
even losing yards. It's not fourth and two, fourth and three, someplace where they can just push it as they do. But now we're talking about an offense that goes three and out and it's fourth and 12, fourth and 15. And they're punting where now they only have 50 yards of field to defend. And that is huge at any level of football. But in the NFL, that is unbearable as a defensive coordinator. And he's still able to do what he's doing. I sent you that meme last night, you know, of the horse, where the back half of the horse is really well drawn and the front half is
all
like
crappy like a child. Like,
yes. And it's the Eagles offense and the Eagles defense.
Eagles offense in the third quarter, five plays, punt, three and out, get to the fourth quarter, three and out, victory formation. I mean, they got the W and switch over to the Josh Allen side. I heard so many people, it's like, wow, Josh couldn't put on the Superman cape and he needs to be able to do that, because if he can't do that, we're talking about the reigning NFL MVP and he can't put on a Super Bowl. He can't put on a Superman cape. Bro, we cannot be asking him to put on the Superman cape every single week. It just can't happen. It's not sustainable. How many times have we seen people ask this of James Harden? I'm not a big James Harden fan, but it's like, I need James Harden to be the regular season he is. The dude's gassed by then. Josh Allen is probably gassed right now.
Well, you say they can't ask him to do that every week. And they can't.
But they do.
And so why are the Bills struggling? Because they're asking Josh. The Bills are 11-5. Because they asked Josh Allen to be Superman.
And 11 times he was, and 5 times he wasn't.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty good standard for Superman in my book.
Absolutely.
But they expect him to be 16-0. And I just, this is why I'm not a McDermott fan. This is why, sneakily, if they don't make the AFC Championship, I'd move on. Then that becomes the best job available.
That's hard because now you're talking about, like, your SEC level kind of coaching, where, like, you know, we 10 wins but missing the playoff, not good enough, or 10 wins and making the first round, not good enough.
I don't want to waste Josh, and I think you're wasting Josh.
So you would take what?
There's no Mahomes, no Burrow, and no Lamar in the playoffs. I mean, Lamar maybe, but I don't think anybody's truly worried about the Ravens. But you're telling me there's a year with those three in it and these guys don't make an AFC championship? That's a problem.
So that's a problem. What do you think about McDermott to New York?
There's your defensive guy.
And that's not a bad experience, right? Head coach experience, defensive guy. And then you have a very, very, very sexy opening for an offensive minded, whether you're going to take a swing and go with a young guy or someone more established. Man, that job opening, if Buffalo comes open, that absolutely is the best job opening.
Yeah, because right now, I mean, I said before the beginning of the season, we'll get out on this, I said before the season that there was no quarterback that had more pressure on them than Trevor Lawrence. Liam Cohen bailed him out on that pretty well. Going into the playoffs, there'll be no quarterback with more pressure than Josh Allen.
Absolutely.
There won't be. Because look at the other quarterbacks in the AFC. Drake May, Bo Nix, Justin Herbert with one good arm and no offensive line, CJ Stroud. You kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, this door is wide open for this team. And they may not win their first round game. That's a problem.
And you don't even have to go through Patrick Mahomes.
Or Lamar Jackson. Oh, you might, but
yeah, well, mathematically.
Or Joe Burrow. I mean, all the studs are gone. What does he say here?
It's time to nut up or shut up.
Exactly. And I think they're gonna shut up. And it breaks my heart. All right, hour number deuce coming up right now. We'll get to the Oregon Ducks. Guess who's back, baby? Returners, people leaving. Does that mean he's going to stay? Please stay, baby. Please do it. 105.1 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.